willingly and went to the cross for us. I just want to read you a part of the crucifixion that is very special to me. And I believe that inside of this part of the crucifixion, we can see three objectives that Christ really accomplished when he went to the cross and cried, "It is finished," for us. Verse number 30 of John chapter 19 says, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished. It is finished.'" The three words that really parallel the greatest love in all of history: it is finished. The three words that helped us to be one with the Father: it is finished. Amen. The three words that finished the work on the cross: it is finished. I'm so glad today that the work on the cross is finished, but more so, I'm glad today that not only did my Jesus stay on the cross, but on that third day, he rose again, conquering sin and death. The first thing that I want to look at tonight, the first objective that I want to look at, that Jesus Christ finished on the cross, specifically talking about the Savior's love, was the eternal pardon of our sins. Now, we read in Colossians chapter number 2, but I'm going to go there real quick. Colossians chapter number 2. And verse number 13 says, "And you specifically," it was you, "put yourself in that place. So if it was the chair you're sitting in, this is you. You are dead in your sins." Think about that. You are dead. You know, one of the things that scared me to death when I was a kid was death. One of the things that scared me to death was death. I was earnestly fearful of dying. I mean, I was so fearful of dying that there were simple things that I was scared of, like the dark. Like, what was in the dark? And am I going to die if I go in the dark, you know? One day, I remember it was a dark night, and it began to storm, and our power went out. And so not only was a dark night, but our power was out, and so I was pretty scared that night. And I remember one of the memories that I have, and I don't know if I've ever shared this with my mom and dad, but one of the things that we did was we actually went in the car, and she turned on the car, and we started listening to some of the Christian music that we had in the car during that time. And one of the songs dealt with, "Why should I fear when Jesus is near?" You know, and I was thinking of, you know, even death itself. You know, we were dead in our trespasses and sin, but the next part of the verse is amazing. "And the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him." In other words, he made alive. So at one point we were dead in our sin, but he made us alive. How did he do that? "Having forgiven you of all trespasses, he blotted out the handwriting ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." When Jesus Christ said, "It is finished," on the cross, he said, "The pardon for your sin is done. It's pardoned, it's forgotten, it's forgiven. Your sin is as far as the east is from the west." And I think about my Jesus, and I think about my God hanging on the cross, and I think about the sin that I even committed this week, and he nailed that sin to his cross. Amen. And I think about the many sins that I've had over time. And you know, I was explaining it like this to the teenagers. You know, if you were to rack up all the bills from restaurants that you went to over your lifetime, that'd be a pretty high bill, right? I mean, even just in 1 year, the amount of money that you spent at restaurants, I'm pretty sure it's pretty high. And I was thinking about this. I was thinking, what if we racked up all the bills over time that people spent at restaurants and fast food? I mean, the number would be astronomical, right? I mean, it'd be in the billions and trillions of dollars. And I was thinking to myself, you know, what if someone decided that they were going to pay off all of those bills? I mean, just pay off all of them and give you the money back that you spent at restaurants. I mean, that'd be pretty amazing. We get a lot of money back, right? Me and my wife, we get a lot of money back. I mean, I was thinking about, you know, Jesus Christ took all of our sin, all of it. And there was a bill too high for us to be paid. And the sin bill, it was going to cause us to die and go to hell. We were going to have to pay the price for our sins. But Jesus Christ on the cross said, "It is finished." The payment for your sins, that bill for your sins is paid. Now because of that, we have eternal pardon from sin. But also Jesus Christ bridged the gap between God and man when he finished the work on the cross. If you take a look at, you may have your Bibles with you in Matthew chapter number 27. Matthew chapter number 27. This is a very important passage. It's another passage from his crucifixion. Matthew chapter 27, verse number 51 says, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom," signifying that there was a bridge that spanned the gap between God and man now, and it was Jesus Christ. Now we have access to God through Jesus Christ. You know, Hebrews chapter 4 talks about how we can boldly come to God because of what Jesus Christ did for us.
Right.
You know, when he said it is finished on the cross, he bridged that gap so that we can have an eternal relationship with God.
Amen.
The first objective was that he pardoned our sin forever.
Amen.
The second objective was that, you know what, he bridged that gap between God and man. And the third objective that he fulfilled was that he fulfilled all the Father's plans. He fulfilled all the Father's plans. You know, it's amazing. I was listening to a speaker, and this was a famous apologist. This is a man who deals with the questions against Christianity and being able to answer them in a logical way. And I was listening to him, and he said, you know, for one man to fulfill all the things that Jesus Christ did, for one man to fulfill all the prophecies that he did, it'd be like this. If we filled the state of Texas 8 times with one of those, have you ever seen one of those dollar coins? If we filled the state of Texas 8 times with one of those dollar coins and took one of those coins and took a marker and covered it in black and tossed it in the middle of Texas somewhere for one man to go and the first try, pick it out. That's the chances of Jesus fulfilling all those prophecies. But that's what Jesus Christ did. He fulfilled the plan of God. Tonight you might be sitting here. This might be your first time in church. It might be your first time hearing about this Jesus Christ. Tonight, you might be saying, what's the catch? There is no catch. The catch is Jesus loves you.
Amen.
Lastly, I want to take my Bible to John 3:16. It's a simple passage. It's a passage that most of us know very well. But in John chapter number 3, in verse number 16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world." That's you. That's me. That's us. He so loved it. You know, I love this passage because I've said it before. God doesn't just love the world. He so loves the world. He so loves us. It's an extravagant love. It's a far-reaching love. It's an amazing love that gives us an amazing grace. Why? Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. My friend, we are sitting in here and I can tell you the reason why Jesus Christ went to the cross was because we have a sin problem. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I said earlier that one of the reasons why Jesus Christ went to the cross was to pardon all of our sin. God loved us and he didn't want to see us suffer in our sin. So he sent his son to die. Jesus Christ took the punishment for us. The catch is, he loves you. The catch is, he wants you to accept his free gift of salvation.
Amen.
My friend, tonight, you can know for sure, you can know for absolutely sure that you are on your way to heaven when you die. Because Jesus, on the cross, finished the work. He pardoned you of your sin. He bridged the gap between God and man, and he fulfilled all the Father's plans. And because of that, Christian, tonight, maybe it's been a while since you've really given really earnest thought to what Jesus did for you. But tonight, as the choir sings our last song, how wonderful, how marvelous, think with me how marvelous his salvation is. If you're not saved tonight,
amen,
after our choir sings this last song, if you don't know for sure that heaven will be your home, tonight after this last song, we'll have an invitational time where you can come and find out for sure how you can know that heaven will be your home someday. Listen now as the choir sings our final song, How Wonderful, How Marvelous. Tonight, if you don't know for sure that heaven will be your home, as we sing our final invitation, if you'll come, Pastor Weigel will be ready to show you how you can know for sure that heaven will be your home someday. You might be here and you might be like our main character, Jamie. You feel confused. You feel left behind. You feel out of it. You feel like no one loves you. No one cares for you. Let me tell you, for God so loved the world, that includes you. God loves you. And he longs to have an eternal and lasting relationship. Let's actually start singing, "There's Room at the Cross for You." There's room at the cross.